God wants to do some great things today. Amen, CLCC? Let me cut on Facebook here. Let's see if I can get this. Go live. Boom. All right. 3, 2, 1. And we are live on Facebook, so I just want to welcome you. If you are tuning into Facebook, just want to welcome you to CLCC. We're just happy that you could be here. We know that this time will impart grace and will impart a revelation to you. And just stay tuned, and you'll be happy that you'll be here today to see what God's doing. Amen. So CLCC, guys, God wants to do some great things. Do you believe that?
Amen.
In you. Little old me? You mean little old me? God wants to do some good things in me? Yes! He picked you to do those things. Did you know that? There could have been billions of other people that have lived in this world, but he said, know what? I've got a specific assignment for Stan. I've got something specific for him. Only he can do that. I choose him. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's you too. I've got a specific assignment for my brother Frank. I've got something special for him only he can do. Come on, we've got specific assignments. We can't get caught up in what everyone else is doing because that's not your assignment. Pay attention to your own assignment. That way you run your race because not everyone has the same race they're running. We're all involved in a race running after Jesus, but everyone has a different and unique way of getting there. Amen? Amen. That was free. I won't charge you for that one. All right. It's been a while since I've had a joke up here. It's been a while. Normally, I used to start with a joke, but the Spirit hasn't led that way. But I feel like today I can use a joke today. Are y'all ready for a good joke? Y'all ready? All right. I want you to picture a good one. Oh, it'll be great. So a rabbi, a priest walked into a... No, I'm just kidding. That's Pastor Kurt's joke. So my joke is this. So I want you to picture this in your mind. Picture this in your mind. Ready? So there is this parking lot. Big parking lot. So picture a big parking lot in your mind. Okay, you got that. Lots of cars around it, in it, and around it. And then picture a big restaurant in the middle of it. Big picture of a big restaurant in the middle of it. Okay, you got that picture? Everybody's good on that? We got that? I mean, you can have whatever restaurant you want in there thinking of different things. I'll tell you which one it is in a minute. You think of a big restaurant, big thing, got cars, got people with all these different food items coming in and out, cars going around. And then now picture this chicken in the midst of it. There's a chicken in the midst of it. Now, your chicken can be whatever you want it to be. If you want it with flurry hair or like a big old chicken or maybe even a turkey size, you can have whatever one you want to. That's okay. That's okay. You can pick whatever chicken you want. But think about it. There's a chicken there. And he's watching everybody go through. With all these things of food. Watch it. You know, he might be making a little noise. And then picture, on the front of the restaurant, it says, KFC. Now, the joke is, what do you think that chicken's saying right now? What do you think he's saying? Eat hamburgers. Eat more hamburgers. What do you think he's saying? Don't eat me. You know what he's saying? Because he's a Christian chicken? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on, somebody. You can laugh at that. It's okay. It's good to have it. That's a good one. Come on. Now everybody's hungry for chicken now. Great. You know, Chick-fil-A's closed today. Great. Oh, man. Amen. If you're not having fun in church, you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying that right now. If you can have fun in God's presence and His kingdom, you're doing it wrong, people. You're doing it wrong. He loves you guys. He loves having a good time with you guys. Sometimes we're a little more serious, and that's okay. But He loves joking around. He loves having a good time with His children. Amen. So, what I want to share today is actually a response to what Pastor Kurt shared last week. It's funny, the word that he gave last week was so on point with what the Lord wants to do in this house and in this congregation that He's having me preach a sermon on it. So, I mean, that's something. That's something. So, I want everybody to get your ears, your listening ears out. Get your revelation caps on, you know, however you want to say that. Revelation caps, you like that, don't you? That's how we say it in Sunday school, revelation caps. Because God wants to say something awesome to you today. But he also wants to prepare you for something that's going to be happening. So Pastor Kurt's word last week was about being faithful during tough times where this church has been. And God is going to bring us into blessing. God wants to bring us into some blessing. Which that could mean a lot of different things. That could be a lot of different things. That could be a new roof. Whoop, whoop. We like that. Yeah. Yes, we like the roof. Raise it. Get a new one. But that could be a lot of, that could be a new promotion at work. That could be an inheritance from someone. That could be a lot of different things. A new car, new boats. Could be a new raise. Could be a lot of things. New job. But Kurt was saying also that there needs to be a decision about now how you're going to respond in that time of blessing. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what I'm was sensing the Lord wants to share about. Hey, how are you going to respond, even though you might say, yes, I want that. Yes, I will go after you. But how are you going to respond when that blessing happens? Because some people act very different when things happen. You know, I mean, let's be real. We can be real here, folks. It's okay. You know? Let's not lie to ourselves in church. You know, when we're going through a tough time, we're like, oh, Lord, please be with us. Please be with us. Please be with us. You know, and you're really seeking the Lord and really seeking what's going on because you're in a tough situation. But when things start happening that are really good and things are getting really nice and comfortable and things like that, we tend to forget about the Lord a little bit. Don't we? Yeah. Oh, no, not this church. No, no. No one from this church would ever do that. No, no, Pastor Van. Nope. Mm-mm. Not this church. Maybe that church down the street, but not this one right here. Come on. We all do it. It's true. Amen. We don't get as desperate for him. We don't need him to move as mightily. We get comfortable. And trust me, I know a thing about comfort. I do. Boy, I would take a couch over a wooden chair any day. I love comfort. If I could have nice comfort food with that comfort place, I will take it. Every time. Don't give me that other stuff. Don't give me that other stuff. I want the comfort stuff. The good stuff. That's what I want. So we get comfortable. And then we forget about how good God is. And we're not as going into his presence as much. And we're not going into really seeking him and seeking his face because we're comfortable. And come on, people. Isn't America can be comfortable at times? Have you ever been outside to another country? It's not comfort over there sometimes. Boy. And if you've never been in another country, if you've never been on a mission trip or anything like that, I would encourage you to go for something like that. Because it will open your eyes and probably break your heart to see what God has blessed us with in this country. We are so blessed in this country. We really are. Because some of the countries I've been with, it doesn't matter how you are. The government just really doesn't care. People don't really just don't care. And the poverty level is sad. We are so blessed, but we can get in that comfortable place, that nice little plateau, and just stay right there. And then we become ineffective for his kingdom. We forget to participate in what he has for us. But today, we're going to go over a few things, amen, that are going to help remind us what to do. When that blessing comes, when those things start happening, we're going to have a response today. And that's the title of my sermon. What's your response? About when I was about 16, 17, I went to serve at a ministry called NYSA. It's New York School of Urban Ministry. And my mom was there with me and my sister and a few we had a group team from our church. And we went there. And it was, you know, fed the hungry, we ministered to the poor, we did things with the homeless, we did all types of different things, we ministered to different areas, we went into Spanish Harlem, that was interesting. That was interesting. If you ever been to Spanish Harlem, that's a very interesting place. So it's, you know, we went to a lot of different places, and then there was one opportunity that I had that not a lot of people had on that trip, and I was able to go to a meeting from and serve as an altar worker for a crusade from Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. So if you, some of you might know that name, some of you might not, but he was doing crusades in Madison Square Garden in New York City at the time. And then one of the Nysom staff said, hey, do you want to come serve as an altar worker? I was like, sure, yeah, I can do that. So I get on, I mean, I had some nice clothes with me, so I got in, got some nice clothes, and then I get to Madison Square Garden. I rode the subway, which I know about the subway now, so I'm good. I can navigate my way. And so I got there, and so I see all these people, all these things, and I'm like, wow, this is Madison Square Garden. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's here. I get to serve as an altar worker. That was a great privilege. I was like, this is really cool. So I got this nice placement. And then some of the guys that are there treat me really good. I was like, wow, this is really awesome, you know? And because I'm only 16, so they might think I was a little older, maybe, because I had a nice shirt and a nice dress shirt on and things like that. So they were treating me pretty nice. And then they said, wherever you wanna sit, you go ahead and sit. I was like, ooh, well then, I can sit wherever I want to. So I chose my favorite seat, and it still is my favorite, is if there's a split in the rows, it's the front row seat on the aisle. Because I like to be a little energetic, that so I like to dance and things like that. So I like that spot right there. And so when I would do that, I would go there. I got that seat, and I was like, yes, I got this seat. I got it. But the thing is, I was like, well, I got one seat, and then I'm like, well, I should get another one, and I should get one for my mother. So yeah, I'll get another one so I got one for her too. But that was it. So you kind of see where my group of friends that were serving and ministering, you know where they ended up? Because I didn't save them a seat? Way back in the nosebleeds. Way back there. Because I didn't. I had been given a position, but yet forgot about who I was with. Now, me and my mom had a great time seeing Dr. Rodney Howard Brown and being experiencing everything, but my poor friends were just a little bit ticked at me and their parents, which I can understand that now, where I didn't save any more seats for them, because there was a lot of seats down there I could have saved for our group, because we were about 10 or 15 at the time, as big as our group was. I didn't save anything for them. I forgot all about them. Now, I was 16. A lot of 16-year-olds forget about things, don't they? Yeah, see? It's true. Y'all remember when you were 16 once. Don't say, I remembered everything, man. No, you didn't. Stop it. But yeah, I forgot all about them. I was like, wow. So, I got into a place of comfort. I got into a place of blessing. But yet, I forgot about those things. Even though it was something small, I could have had a better impact on those friends. And I had to apologize. I was like, I am so sorry. That was my fault. You know, I'm so sorry. They ever listened to the sermon today, I'm so sorry. I really am. You know? Forgive me. Forgive my ignorance. But my response should have been different. But sometimes when we go through life, we have a little bit greater of responsibility than just picking out seats. Come on. So if you want to turn with me to 2 Samuel, we're going to learn about some responses that people made in the Old Testament. So 2 Samuel, we're going to read about one right now, and it's King David. Now, a little bit about King David. Everyone knows about King David normally. Normally, everyone knows about King David. Ryan, you know about King David? Okay, good. I'm glad. Glad they're teaching you something at ABI. I'm very happy to hear that. I know they are. But King David, you know, he was a king. He had just won. Saul was then defeated. You know, unfortunately, Saul was killed. David became king. He had great campaigns, great armies, great. He was getting great wealth with it. And in verse 1, I'm going to read it, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. This is his response to what everything was going on. He was pretty cushioned, let's put it. He was very comfortable. And this is something that happens. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. David wasn't supposed to be in Jerusalem. He was supposed to be out there with his men fighting. But because things had got a little comfortable, because Joab was a great leader. He's a great leader, no doubt about it. Great man. Could fight very well. But David got a little too cushed, I would say. Not even a word, but I like it. He got a little comfortable in where he was. And then in verse 2, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So then we see David, because he's not where he's supposed to be, because he's in a comfortable place, he ends up being in the wrong place. And his eyes go something where he's not supposed to go. Come on, somebody. It happens. When God puts you in a great place, if you're not sure how your response is going to be, you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and do the wrong thing. Come on, somebody. It's true. We need to, and this is number one, this is my point number one, we need to be in the right place. David had no business being in Jerusalem when his army's off fighting for the kingdom, for the Israelites. No business at all. But even if you're in the wrong place, so if you do get in the wrong place, like King David did, maybe some of us are in that place right now. We're maybe in that wrong place. Let's get out of it. Let's get back to the right place. You can get back. David might have saw that woman bathing, but he didn't have to send inquiries about her. Yeah. Right. He didn't have to do what he did later on in the chapter. Yep. He could have stopped right there and said, nope, I need to go back to with my men, back to war, because I'm in the wrong place. Right. That's right. But he didn't, because he didn't know, he didn't have the right response. So number one, being in the right place. And if you are in the wrong place, get out now. Just like Joseph. He got caught in a wrong place, but he got out. So number two, let's go to Esther. Esther 4:12. Yes, sir. Oh, what, wrong place? So he was in Potiphar's house. So Potiphar's wife had taken a liking to him. And so he had been placed. Now he was the head of all the servants in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar said, you can have anything but my wife. You can have anything. I'll trust you with everything, but my wife is mine. And so his wife, Potiphar's wife, starts liking Joseph. Joseph tempts him. And then Joseph has to get out of that situation immediately. And it's such a situation that he had to leave his robe behind and run out. That's the kind of response we have to have if we're in the wrong place. But let's not wait till we're there. Let's make ourselves in the right place and get out of the whole situation completely. Let's not put ourselves in that situation at all. But knowing, and I love Joseph's response to that, just to go back on that. I love Joseph's response because he said it wouldn't be right unto the Lord. He didn't say it wouldn't be right unto Potiphar. I mean, he did say that later, but he said it wouldn't be right unto the Lord, to my God, my Maker. And that's what his response was. All right, so let's go to Esther. Esther 4. So the first one, being in the right place. That's what we need to make sure we're doing. When God chooses to bless us, God chooses to do some great things in our lives, gives us promotions, gives us things like that, then we need to make sure we're in the right place. Amen? Amen. Number two, let's go to Esther. Esther 4:12. It's going to read, actually 4:10, I should say. So then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and all the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, and that be put to death unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 3 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows what will? And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Some of us know about Queen Esther, some of us don't. A little background, Queen Esther, chosen. to become queen. And so there was a plot among Haman. You can read it all in Esther. Haman wanted to kill all the Jews. Wanted to kill them all. Had a certain date. Killed all the Jews throughout the province. And so Mordecai happened to hear that, who was Esther's godfather. Happened to hear that. And so he talked to Esther about this. He's like, you need to warn. You need to see what you can do for the king. Because this is serious. All the Jews are going to be wiped out completely. On a certain day, it's been decreed, boom, all of them are going to die. Men, women, and children, that's it. Esther is like, well, if I go before the king, and he doesn't want me there, then I'm going to die. That was their law. So it was a big deal. Mordecai then responds this way, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this, fulfilling your task, number two. Fulfilling the task that God has given you. When things happen and you become blessed, you must fulfill the task that God has given you. Because He's given you that task. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that He's given you a certain task? Only you can do that. Stanley, only you can do certain things. Pastor Kurt, only you can do certain things. Ed, only you can do certain things. Isn't that right? Marty, only you can do certain things. There's a certain task that only you can do. And it's up to you to fulfill it. No matter what position, no matter what's going on, it's up to you to fulfill that. Because I love how he says this, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. If you don't want to do it, God will raise up somebody else. And that's kind of a sobering thought. That's kind of sobering. Because it's like God loves people so much that He assigns you to do a task. But if you choose not to do it or you just don't want to do it, He'll raise up somebody else that will do it. Come on. But our God is good. He doesn't want to raise up somebody else. He appointed you to do it. He wants you to do it because when you do those tasks, doesn't it feel great on the inside to be used of God? How many of you have led someone to the Lord? You don't have to raise your hands, but remember those times when you've led someone to the Lord? Or prayed for someone and they saw healing? Or prophesied over someone, it was right on the money? Or prayed for someone, you're like, man, I was blessed by that prayer. Doesn't it feel good? It feels like, yeah, this is good. This is what I was meant to have. This is what I was meant to do. And it's not just so we get caught up in, oh, how great we are. No. It's like, thank you, Lord, for using me in an awesome way to affect someone's life for all eternity. Come on, somebody. There's no greater feeling. I mean, I've had some really good things happen in my life, but there is nothing greater than being used of God to see someone believe, to see someone saved, someone healed, prophecy over them, signs and wonders. There is nothing greater. Nothing greater than to see God do that. So number two, we need to fulfill your task. He put you in that position to do something, and He wants you to do it. Amen? All right. So let's go to number three. So let's go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. We're going to go to verse 1. We're going to read about somebody else. So we've talked about King David. We talked about Queen Esther, and they had nice positions. I mean, Esther had a really cushy place. She was the queen. She didn't have to do nothing. But God put her in that position to fulfill a task. And He wants to do the same with everyone in His place. Amen. Come on. So let's go to 1 Samuel 15. We're going to look at someone who didn't do what was right. His name was King Saul. In verse 15, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent you to anoint king over the people of Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came out from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them, put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. This was no joke right here. God was really ticked with this group, wasn't he? Whew. You know what? I just want to clarify something. That wrath was towards us. Did you know that? But thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ. That wrath was supposed to be for us. But because of Christ, we can now have forgiveness from the wrath of God and live in a relationship with love with Him. Come on, somebody. Do you ever think of like, wow, I mean, I don't, you know, some of us think of like, oh, I don't want to go to hell, and think how we got saved when we were younger or when we got older. Think of how salvation happened to us. This is the truth. The wrath of God was satisfied by Christ's blood. And that's a real sobering thought, because God is a God of justice as well. Because the Amalekites did a lot of evil against Israel. And so now we can actually partake in Christ's blood, that we don't have to suffer any wrath from the Lord. And we can have a relationship moving forward with Him. Amen? It's awesome. So we see that Samuel tells King Saul to do this. And then we look later on in verse 22 that King Saul didn't do everything he was supposed to do. That he spared the king of the Amalekites, and he took the nice donkeys, the nice sheep, the nice cattle. He took them and said, well, you know, God did say that, but boy, these look really good, and I think I'm going to do that. And he destroyed the bad ones, and he's like, okay, those are bad, I'm going to destroy those. But I'm going to take the good ones, because those look really nice. And then Samuel comes up to him later on, because God tells him what happened. Samuel replies in verse 22, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, because that's what he did not listen to the Lord nor obey Him, so that is rebellion, is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Also, King Saul constructed a little statue of himself at that time as well. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king. Whew! For not obeying. Come on, somebody. That's rough. But he didn't obey. He had a specific word to do what he was supposed to do, but he did not do it. And he was rejected as king from then on. We need to have obedience. We need to be in the right position, the right place. We need to fulfill the task. And when the task is given, we need to obey it. No matter what the task looks like, we need to obey that task. Because if we're not obeying the task, that means we're thinking so highly of ourselves that we don't need to do that. That we don't have to do that way. Oh, God said to do this. Well, I don't really need to do that. I know better than God. Silly him. No. That's not how it works. No. We need to have obedience in whatever He asks us to do. Because later on it says in 1 Samuel 15, and the Lord regretted that He made Saul king over Israel. Whew. Man. God regretted that He made Saul king of Israel. I don't want that. I regretted that I put Van in that position. Whew. Whew, that's harsh. That's harsh. Obedience. Obedience to what you need to, what God is telling you to do. Make sure we're in the right place, number one. Make sure we fulfill the task, and number two. Number three, we need to carry it out in obedience. Because if we don't, He might regret giving that to us. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, I regret that you came into my kingdom. Who? That'll wake you up. Jeez. Man. But we don't have to worry about that, do we?
Because we're going to be him, isn't that right?
We don't have to worry about that. Is that a good thing? Like, yes. Like, Lord, I'm on the page now. I hear you loud and clear, Lord. I'm going to make sure I obey.
So, number one, being in the right place. Number two, fulfilling your task. Number three, obediently doing what God has told you to do. Having obedience. And now we're going to look at number four. And we're going to Joseph for this. So, Genesis 45. Good old Genesis 45. Go back to good old Joseph.
Which, actually, we talked about a little earlier, which is hilarious.
Going back to good old Joseph. In chapter 45, verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save the lives that God had sent ahead of you. For 2 years now there have been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Come on. Isn't this the song that we sing today? Whatever the enemy went for evil, the Lord turned to good. Come on. Doesn't matter what your family does, co-workers do, what people try to do. God can make any situation into giving himself glory and to make it better for your good. Come on, somebody. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter what's happening. He can turn that thing around and make it into something great.
Yes. Amen.
Come on now. So the fourth thing is that we need forgiveness. And that can be forgiveness for ourselves. Because sometimes we get a little too hard on ourselves. I know I can be that way. Maybe some other people aren't. But I can be really hard on myself. And I get really upset because I do stupid stuff sometimes. And I'm like, man, that was so dumb. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? That was just, and I get really hard on myself and I don't forgive myself of what I need to do. And I just let that kind of stay there. And instead of moving on, I kind of get stuck there. And it's like, oh, I'm stuck here. But I need to forgive myself and give it to the Lord and go further. But also, forgiveness goes not only for ourselves, but for others. Joseph could have said, "You know what, brothers, you did this to me. See you later. You're dead." You know? He'd be like, "You're wiped out. Dad's okay. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead." You know? He could have said that. He could have said, forget it. Y'all treated me horrible. I had to go through some horrible places. I ended up in prison. I ended up a slave. And he's just like, he could have went off. But yet, there was forgiveness. Don't let the past dictate your future. Come on. Don't let those past hurts, don't let those past scars dictate the future, what God wants to bring you into. Because if you get too hung up on those scars, you'll never be able to fulfill the destiny God has for you. If you get too hung up on not forgiving those other people and letting them have the power over you because you're not willing to forgive them, you can't reach forth and become totally free. Come on, somebody. Don't let it happen to you. No matter who it was, it could have been family, friends, it could have been co-workers, it could have been a job, it could have been someone important, it could have been a pastor, it could have been a minister. Could have been someone in the church. Don't let that keep you from going further. Don't let that keep you from going on in Him, from receiving that blessing, from receiving that particular place, a particular role, and living to fulfillment in Him. Living a freedom. Don't let that become bitterness. Don't let it become hatred. Because you know what bitterness is, right? Bitterness is drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what bitterness is. That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, I'm going to drink this poison and you're going to die. No, that's what bitterness does. That other person might not even recognize what they did to you. Don't let them have that power over you. Forgive, move on. Because life is short and God has great things in store for us. Come on, somebody. Great things in store for us. So number one, we're going to be in the right place, aren't we, church?
Amen.
Number two, we're going to fill the task God has for us. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Number three, we're going to obey what He wants us to do. And number four, we're going to forgive and move forward.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God has great things in store for this church. Pastor Kurt shared it from the Word of the Lord last week. God spoke to us about it this week and how we can do this, how we can make it more practical to us. And we're going to see Him do some great things. Me and Pastor Kurt were talking the other day about that word. It was like, it was kind of weird, kind of thinking about what God might do. You know? God might have this place filled up before long. They might be, we might actually might be fighting for these first few seats. Wouldn't that be interesting? Oh no. Oh no, Pastor Van Ness spit a little bit, so be careful. Not that seat right there. Not the one over. We might be fighting for that first seat. We might have to have three different worship teams. Because we have so many musical, talented people. We might have to have church parking attendants because we have so many people wanting to get into the church.
Yes.
We might have to have a bigger Sunday school because we got 50 kids now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We might have to add on another addition because how full our services are. Or I might have to go to two services a Sunday. Pastor Steve, you have to preach twice then. Woo! Can you handle that? He can handle it. All right, we're good. Pastor Kurt, you might have to give the exact same word in both services now. That could be tough. Pastor Adam might get 60 more youth people.
Yeah.
Pastor Adam, you ready? When you heal up, of course. I mean, we laugh, but these are truths. These things can happen. I mean, there might be a day where we're all just sitting here on our faces in front of God because His presence is so thick in here that we can't even move. That we can't even utter a sound. And I know that He can do it because I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen moves of God like that. And I believe that God wants to do it here. But we have to have the right response. Because if we don't have the right response, things can go very different. Things can go very different. And the Lord might regret sending His presence to this place. Man, if we're not ready to respond the right way, I mean, someone could become a millionaire overnight. Someone can. Or someone can get this promotion that's out of this world. But we have to have the right response, no matter what it is. Because money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is. And maybe our church bank account might have over $5 million this next year. Maybe. Who knows? But we have to be careful because with fame, fortune, money, and those types of things that come along, we have to deal with our hearts now. Because what happens when we get to that place where we have those cracks in our character that we haven't responded yet will be shown and exposed. Why do you think that 80% of all millionaires lose their money in the first 5 years? Because they don't have the right response. God, I want to have the right response for Your presence, for Your blessing, and I want to make sure I'm working on my character now so that I can be ready.
Amen.
I can be ready to have the right response when You start doing some awesome things. He's already doing things right now, but we have yet to see some really things happen. I believe there's some things coming down the pipe, coming in His presence that are just going to blow our minds. And we need to be ready, church. We need to be ready. Because there's going to be some people that are really going to need they're going to be really hurting. And God wants to meet them, just like He met us. Come on, church. CLCC, are you ready? Let's all stand up then. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And I just want everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. We haven't done this in a while, but I feel like this is the right way to do things today. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. This is your response to the Lord. This is your response to the Lord. If you want God to help you make the right choice, the right response, then I want you to put up your hand with no one looking around, just all eyes closed. This is a choice between you and the Lord. If you want this to happen, like, God, I've heard your word last Sunday that Pastor Van said to this Sunday, what Pastor Kurt said from last Sunday to this Sunday, and I want to make the right response. I need you to work on my character. I need you to work on my response so I'm making the right one for you. If that's you, I want you to just lift your hand up and say, yes, Lord, that is me. I'm making a statement today. I'm making a drawing a line in the sand that I want to do this today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to encourage you. You can put your hands down. I just want to encourage you. Just want to keep your eyes closed. Just keep your eyes closed. I want you to just to listen to my voice. I want to encourage you because there are going to be things that are going to start popping up in your life now. And now that you've made this decision, God is going to start dealing with some of those cracks. And some of them are not pretty. Some of them can be quite ugly, actually. And there's going to be some things that are going to start welling up inside of you that you're like, wow, I thought I beat that. I didn't know that stronghold was there. I didn't know my heart was there. I didn't realize that that addiction had come back. There's going to be some things that are going to well up inside of you. And I want to encourage you, do not fear. Do not fear. Because it's the Lord that's going to well up those things inside of you because He wants to deal with them. And you can become totally free from those things because that's part of the response. He wants to help you with responding to those things to get totally free. That way He can use you as His mouthpiece. He can use you to be in the right place. He can use you to fulfill the task, to obey correctly and adequately and accurately. And also to forgive and not let your past dictate your future. So, Father, right now, as we pray and we accept your response, we want you more than anything else. No doubt about it. And in this next time, whether it's however you bring the blessing, however you do what you're going to do, we want to make sure that we're responding correctly for you, Father. Because we don't want to be like King Saul, where you agreed that you ever made him king. We don't want that ever. We always want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We always want to hear that, Father. Help us to go forward in our walk with you. Help us to not be content or plateau or be too comfortable in you, God. Let us always desire more of you, O God. Because you are so good and you have so much for us. We have not even scratched the surface of how good you are and what you can do. So, Father, we thank you right now that you're doing great and wonderful things. That today is a line in the sand that we're going after you. We're going to make the right response. Even though those things might well up, we'll recognize them. Help us to recognize them, Lord. And help us to take and give them to you and not fear them, Lord. And deal with them and accept your truth in those things and not the lie that we believed. We thank you, Almighty God.